This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Ladies and gentlemen, Orange Bloods, welcome back to the Deep Dig Podcast, episode 37 here on the Yak. And I generally make but over the course of the last few episodes, I've been entitling these based on something relevant to like the episode number. Like for 35, that was the Kevin Durant episode. For 36, it was the DeMarco Boyd episode. For 37, I don't know. I mean, I could name it the Sean Alexander episode, but then I don't think any Texas fans would care to listen. I'm trying to think of 37. What of consequence is 37? Who was the 37th president? Maybe I'll look at that. Who's the 37th president? I'll bet some of you got Richard Nixon episode. That might get some listens. The Watergate episode. The Watergate. I'll tell you, dude, speaking of Watergate, this could be the Watergate episode. Do you guys have any idea what's going on Lake Travis? It is nuts around here. I posted a video on my Twitter. You can follow me there on Twitter. This is Alex Dunlap, Deep Dig Podcast. Episode 37 here on the Yak. I'm the lead football analyst at Orange Bloods. Roster Watch. What, I'm co-founder, editor-in-chief, director of content. I'm the new media chairman for the Pro Football Writers of America. I am the father to one beautiful, soon-to-be four-year-old girl. She has her birthday this weekend, actually, right before my radio show on Sirius on Saturday. Another 10-month-old boy who has been a raving maniac all day, a 12-year-old mutt dog, lab, Rottweiler sort of mix, and a 19-year-old fiberglass pool. And it's the Deep Dig Podcast, and man, the water around here, it is, I mean, just look at my Twitter, at Alex Dunlap NFL. You can also follow at Roster Watch. And the water around here in the Lake Travis area, and for you guys who might like, I mean, there was clearly, if you listen to this podcast, it's a Texas-focused podcast. You know about the floods on the Llano River. That goddamn thing was the same CFS as what one half of the Mississippi River would be. It's unbelievable, and you don't realize the scope of it until you realize that, like, the Highland Lakes are a set of lakes that are set to take on this flooding that does occur in this part of Central Texas, and the types of floods that would take out a city like Austin. The Highland Lakes and their series of dams are designed to not allow just if the Highland Lakes, as they currently existed right now, and as they're, administered or overseen by the LCRA, if they didn't exist, Austin would be underwater right now, dude. You would not believe these lake levels. It's like there are certain parts of my property where I don't even really live that really close to the lake, but there's certain parts of my property where at this point in time, like, I have a clear lake view and a view of like the creek that feeds into the lake where I live, Bee Creek. The water is up on Lake Travis. And now the rains, man, keep coming. I'm recording this on Wednesday, late Wednesday night. We're getting this recording out. And you just realize, man, that flood up in Llano, that thing had to have been in such an epic monster for, I mean, just for it to just have had this huge an effect. I like on that video that I took, the flood gauge on the low water crossing, just right in my neighborhood, right where I live. It's a little babbling creek, a wet water creek, Bee Creek. You probably even know what it is. It's Bee Creek. It's like half the time it's bone ass dry. It's bone ass dry all summer. Not a drop of water in that damn thing. Even the community swimming, like it's like a little swimming hole. It wasn't even a swimming hole. It was a bunch of fucking pebbles. It was like it was nothing. And things turn quick around here with the way that this land is and the way that this Texas Hill Country funnels down just quickly and hilariously right at the I-35 corridor. Like right there is where the Hill Country ends and where the Blackland Prairie begins over on the east side. And for all these reasons, man, we get flooding up in these Highland Lakes and they come down and, you know, water comes down. Like, I mean, that's how water flows, right? Goes down. Austin would be in trouble if they had to take on all this water that Lake Travis is holding right now. And for that reason, I just say, let's just, God, man, let's do a rain dance. Let's try and keep this rain away, because once Lake Travis reaches that 714 level, that kind of spillway level, that level is, I mean, it's, I don't think it will. It would take a lot more of just crazy rain up there, but God, the ground is so wet and we're getting a bunch of rain right now. Let's just hope it doesn't happen. This is the deep dig. Let's get to this episode. I'm just going to call this one the Sean Alexander episode. No, not the Sean Alexander episode. The flood gauge episode. Maybe the flood gauge episode. But it's a chat episode. I had a chat today, an all day chat on orangebloods.com. Not really an all day chat, because half of the all day was spent packing my son up and driving all the way from where I just was telling you that I live, you know, out here by the lake, driving all the way in. Although, man, I had to go drive all the way into town, man. No, but it's like all the way into our guy Ross's place with my son, who is just, I mean, way too active to love sitting in that car seat for 45 minutes one way back and one way there. But other than that, like in the morning, and then once I got back, I did the chat. I did take a break and make the matchup tool at Roster Watch. Not really make it now, because we have a lot of the data that just gets scraped now and then pulled in. I just do the one quality control check and the manual adjustment, and that thing's good. But besides having to do that, I just did this chat all damn day on Orange Bloods. So let's just go through. I'll try and keep this kind of, you know, related around Texas football. The first one comes from Tax Saver and hey, you should, if you need your taxes done, this is still on my mind because I just did my taxes. Hell, might as well give somebody a plug. Steve Schrader. I think it's S-C-H-R-A-E-D-E-R. Steve Schrader at Tax Saver on Orange Bloods. You've definitely seen him as a poster. He's a maniacal poster. But, hey, maniacal CPA. Very good. His username is not... it's not wrong. He really asks a lot of questions and does a lot of probing about ways to save you on taxes. He says, how's Ellinger doing? I wonder if he just had a workout injury. It's happened to me and probably everyone on the board. Rotator cuff gets sore and you end up hanging your shoulder. 3 days later, you're just fine. I don't know about that. you say if it's happened to you on the board, or if you say that it's probably happened to a lot of people on the board, that there's something with their rotator cuff getting sore or something happening with the rotator cuff, that's happened with me. It was a shoulder injury that ended my rugby career. And I remember thinking, it's like, I mean, I don't understand how, you know, people who have range of motion issues can, or, you know, range of motion sort of aspects of their activity that they're doing can come back from something such as that, you know, as quickly as they sometimes do. Like these wide receivers, sometimes you see them wear these, you know, they get these AC joint sprains and they wear these like vests and stuff, and still they can, you know, they can reach their arms up above their bodies to make these contested catches, and, you know, they can do these things. And I think the quarterback is probably the epitome of that. We had Dustin on the Ticket City podcast talk about whenever he had his AC joint sprain, exactly what it meant for his throwing motion. But look, I had the update last night, and I mean, you can't get specifics on this stuff from anybody, man. But as of what we knew on, and then, you know, on Wednesday night, whenever Beck talked, he just deferred to Herman on Thursday. And so we'll see what they say. We'll see what they say officially, but we don't get to watch practice. So just from behind the scenes from some people, I mean, some people said Sam Ehlinger looks like himself. Herman said 25 to 30 throws on Tuesday. I got the feeling that maybe he wasn't even that limited, because apparently what they monitor for is probably 75 throws during a regular practice. So being at one-third participation doesn't necessarily mesh with what I heard about Ehlinger's participation during that practice Tuesday. And what I made sure to say on the board is, I said, I mean, you don't need to get your hopes up about it. I'm not reporting that Sam Ehlinger is going to play. I'm not reporting that he's good to go. What I'm reporting is that at least one person, a trustworthy person, says that he looks like he's practicing and he's himself. So if that's the case, and we, you know, we don't have setbacks, then, you know, that's the report. So as for Tax Saver, that's sort of where we are. Like, I'm not going to report anything one way or the other. If you put a gun to my head and ask me, you know, is Sam Ehlinger going to be able to play and be available to play for the Oklahoma State game? I would say, I would take the yes if I had to. But here's the thing: on Orange Bloods, it's really hard to put something like that out there. It's because, you know, Orange Bloods keeps you in check, man. It makes you, like, you got to get a bunch of sources and be absolutely sure of something, or else you will be skewered by the community. All right, Die Hard Horn 1988. I probably need to be quicker with these if I'm going to get through a bunch of them, because we're already halfway through the pod. He says, do you expect any drop-off if Cook replaces Davis? What do you view as the strengths and weaknesses of each player? So he also asked me about the best option to replace PJ Locke if he had to be replaced. And so let's just get through one of these. And I think probably the interesting one to talk about would be do you expect any drop-off if Cook, so he means the freshman cornerback Anthony Cook, replaces Davis, so he means the senior cornerback Devontae Davis. What do you view as the strengths and weaknesses of each player? And so what I said is that it's really hard to say what I think the college strengths of Anthony Cook are. And what did I tell him? I said, like, we don't have enough sample size to have a laundry list of strengths and weaknesses on Cook. That's exactly what I said. And he's played 10 snaps? I think he's 10 snaps on the season. And here's the other thing. My best up-close and personal evaluation on Anthony Cook was at U.S. Army All-American practices where he was going up against Amon Ross St. Brown. Is that his name? You'll have to excuse me. I fly off the seat of my pants during podcasts. But Amon Ross, right? Yeah, the kid from the USC kid. Equanimeous the St. Brown's brother. Amon Ross St. Brown. And he, like, I remember more about Amon Ross St. Brown than I remember about Anthony Cook any time that they met. Those two met up. But once I saw Anthony Cook on the practice field at the University of Texas, I said, okay, well, look at the way that he stacks up against these players that we see out here right now, and the way he turns his hips, and the way that he can move, and the way that he can pop out of his T-step. And you can understand why people really, really liked him coming out. And look, when you talk about strengths and weaknesses, and you talk about Devontae Davis, who's now a senior, who looks like, I mean, I used to say, it's like, man, he wears number 18 like Tyrone Swoops used to wear. I used to say, like, I would walk by him, he looked like the Tyrone Swoops of the defense. He's like a big, long dude. He's big, long, athletic, where he has issues. I think he still has issues on the mental side of the game. He gets burned too much, allowing 55% completion percentage into his coverage this season. He's got to be close to leading the team in burns. Let me see. As always, very, very prepared here at the Deep Dig podcast. Who is leading the team in burns? Market share, defense, master, burns. Six, Devontae Davis leads the team in coverage burns. And, you know, I mean, he's played 338 snaps. So that's a lot of snaps. But, you know, Chris Boyd hadn't been burned as often. He's played 455. So weaknesses, I think, in the mental game, the biting on double moves, as we saw earlier. Then I also wrote that, and this is smart what I wrote, he loses a step against fast players and bail technique, or what I probably should have said is trail technique. I need to make a note to edit that. All right, next question. I asked a question yesterday about the stat. I asked a question yesterday about the status of Patrick Hudson, the freshman, or the, I'm sorry, what is Patrick Hudson now? Is he a redshirt sophomore? A redshirt sophomore, I think. Offensive lineman, one of the top 10 players probably in the entire, top 10 to 15 player in the state for that 2016 class. And, he had a full body cramp. I mean, I don't mean to laugh, but that's what they kind of said. It was a heat stroke, like full body cramp. He's a big, big boy, man. He's one of the biggest kids on the whole entire team. Look, he had bad feet coming in, bad balance, but just strong as an ox. What do our brows always say about his class in that 2016 class? They had the fastest player in the state, the strongest player in the state. Both ended up at Texas after the scandal and everybody decommitted. But those players were Devin Duvernay and Patrick Hudson. Patrick Hudson being the strongest because he's not the fastest. And I don't know what to think about him moving forward. What I told OK Texan, who was the asker of this question, I just said that he's been robbed of opportunities to develop key traits at every turn. And he's just a guy who came and needed to work on his feet. And now, like, the clock keeps ticking, and I'm not sure how much longer he really has to really do it. I think if you can get him inside, maybe at that right tackle, work on the feet just a little bit. I mean, if he gets his hands on you, if you can get that guy working in close space, I mean, if he gets his hands on you, it could be trouble. I just remember seeing this year, I mean, the kid, what's his name? Keandre Coburn. The freshman, even this fall, to early fall practices, there were times when he went up against Patrick Hudson, and Patrick Hudson's feet would be in cement. But anyway, where he is right now is that, I mean, he doesn't even, I'm not even sure he even goes out there and even goes through the regular sort of practice stuff. Like, even guys like, I mean, guys who are like out for the year, even guys like Malcolm Roach, when you see like, you know, Instagram stories or stuff from Texas, like even those guys are out there and they're wearing their pads, they're working with trainers. Like, I don't even think Patrick Hudson's even out there doing that stuff. I think they're just being really careful with him. And if he does that, I'm not gonna speculating about anything where he might be medically. But you worry, man, like about that stuff with the heat strokes and full body cramps and just having to be in the hospital for a whole long time after that occurred. It's like, I just say that we hope that that guy gets healthy and everything gets good. And then after that, start to worry a little bit about, you know, his development and where his feet are. Gray Gordon, he asked about Brecken Hager, whether or not he's hurt his NFL chances this season. What position would you project him to play at the next level? I mean, he'd have to be a, I don't know. Maybe a, I don't know. It would depend on the scheme. He would have to be an outside linebacker and maybe a Sam outside linebacker to keep him closer to the line of scrimmage and sort of, you know, coming off the edge. I don't think Brecken has really helped his NFL chances this year. With that being said, he seems like he's kind of coming on a little bit. But yeah, he hasn't been the impact player that he's been before. And so I think, and what I'm hoping for Brecken, cause I love that guy. I hope that he can, I hope his production just kind of regresses to the mean. And even if it doesn't, I'll bet NFL scouts look at a bunch of what he did before, maybe identify reasons that they can see that I can't, about maybe why his production's down this year. But, you know, the hope for Texas fans and the hopes just for fans of Brecken Hager like I am is that his production regresses to the mean through the second half and then maybe production comes in bunches to get him back to where his historical production levels have been on a per-snap basis. C.S. Etherhorn asks, who do you see being replaced on the coaching staff? Who would you replace with them with? And my deal is like Tom Herman is going to – if his staff is winning and they continue to win like they're winning right now, he's going to look around and give everybody in the media an FU for saying that questioning any part of his questioning staff – or questioning any part of his – what – I'm trying to think of the word. Questioning any part of his – I guess evaluation process – like hiring process that led to – bringing guys here like the Tim backs and stuff. Maybe the Derek Wareheims, because clearly that was the one kind of area that when Herman had the opportunity to kind of correct something, he immediately took the opportunity to kind of address the offensive line with a Herb hand. But Tom Herman, man, he's a proud dude. He's a cocky dude. It's like this is his personality, and he's a stubborn dude, man. And look, most coaches are all of those things. The good ones, especially if they pay attention to detail and they're organized, and they pay attention to important detail and they're organized, but. Look, if Texas keeps winning, Herman's not replacing anybody. Players most likely to leave for the draft, that's from MB-Horns. And that was easy for me. It's Colin Johnson, it's little Jordan Humphrey, it's Brandon Jones. Arlong 68, he says, buy or sell 365 days from now, Samuel Cosmi is being given a heavy look by the NFL for the 2020 draft. And so Cosmi right now is a redshirt freshman. He's been awesome playing at right tackle. Next year, he'll get moved to left tackle. I mean, well, I'm just saying like it's – I mean, I'm not the coach. But I think that's what's going to happen. And what I told Arlong 68 in this is that I thought that definitely, like, there'll be NFL, I think there'll be enough NFL interest in Cosme coming into the 2019 season that, you know, he'll be made aware that maybe he should at some point get the draft advisory board to, you know, give him a potential grade, you know, coming in. I think it would take a lot of big improvement through that period for him to actually, you know, as a redshirt sophomore, leave. I don't think that's going to happen. So, like, that I would sell. But he said, is he being given a heavy look by the NFL for the 20 draft? And I think that that's a buy. Because if he's being told he needs to get advice, if it's even a consideration, then I consider that a buy, and I think that's what's going to happen if his development continues as it currently has. And I think the feedback that he would get, just for the record, is that he would need to come back for another year at that point, barring, you know, really just monstrous progression to come, you know, during his third season in Texas as a redshirt sophomore, which could happen. Caldana said, as for a bait casting or spinning reel, I always say the spinners. And I mean, here's the thing. I could get into a whole hour podcast about this, and I'm not going to. I don't think that everybody cares. But it's so hard not to just go off on something like that. I'm not going to talk anymore about the Amari Cooper trade. I'm done with it. There's just too many people on Orange Bloods who say that, they're like, you're biased. What the hell are you doing? Like, you know, you said, like, that was your longest answer of any answer on this whole chat. That sounds like it comes from a biased person about this, who's always prone to hyperbole and blah, 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 blah. And I say, guess what, man? You listen to the person who's asking this question, and you're a Texas fan. Who's like, not a Texas fan. You're a Cowboys fan, just like you're a Texas fan. It's like, I can't expect you to be rational about this. You're a Texas fan. I don't expect you to be rational about it. I know this job getting into it. I was a member on this board for 10 years before Ketchum ever gave me a job here. You're a Texas fan. You're a Cowboys fan. I don't expect you to listen to what I say about how bad a signing Amari Cooper was for a first-round pick. I don't expect you to understand. I don't expect you to understand what I'm saying about the 2019 wide receiver draft class being a whole lot better than what everybody in the media apparently is saying, because I've been told in the chat column today that everybody in the whole media, all they want to talk about is how bad the 2019 wide receiver class is. And to me, do you know what I say to that? I say that comes from the same sources about the same people reporting that Amari Cooper is like, and how many times have you heard this? That Amari Cooper is just 24 years old. He is just what? Follow along with me. Give it to me right now. 6 months older than Calvin Ridley. I'll bet you even had it in your own head. But here's the next part that you have in your own head. On top of being the same age as Calvin Ridley, what else? Yep, you hit it in the nail right on the head that he has two Pro Bowls. And so the talking points that have come out from Jerry and his minions in Dallas and all of the NFL reporters based out of Dallas, you get that narrative, you get every other narrative that you want to throw at me, and you want to do it about a wide receiver who has some of the most inconsistent hands in the National Football League, who has been rumored to be a guy that John Gruden doesn't think has enough heart. And you're going to need to pay him $19.3 million next season in the exact same year that Dak Prescott's rookie deal's up. And the exact same deal that Jason Garrett, now you're going to have to give Jason Garrett one more year because of this, of course, because it's going to be worth it. Like, look, the Dallas Cowboys feel like they've gotten a number one wide receiver. And so they've paid for it like a number one. They paid out the nose, man. A number one. You could have got, they like this whole thing with the Eagles were going to ship a two. This is like, this is ridiculous. The Dallas Cowboys feel like they could have gotten, God, they went for Watkins. They were rumored to be in it for Josh Gordon. That they would have just gone harder for Josh Gordon. This is such a panic move. And when and so you have Dak Prescott coming into his final season. You're going to have to do something with Amari Cooper's deal. You would think you're expending first round capital. If you get first round capital for a rental, are you kidding me? The only way you can do that is if you're Belichick and you know you can get a first rounder back right the next year. So that rental was nothing in Brandon Cooks. So you got to pay Amari Cooper. You can't spend first round capital for a rental that you're not gonna keep around or be able to flip for significantly, close value to what you got him at. And you can't flip Amari Cooper the same way that Belichick could flip Brandon Cooks. So, Cowboys fans, you have Amari Cooper. Like I told you, come find me whenever we talk about this 2019 wide receiver class being so abysmal. Come find me when I tell you that Amari Cooper is not the type of wide receiver that's going to completely turn around an offense right in the middle of an NFL season. And he's honestly not the type of wide receiver that comes in and changes the game that much on an NFL football team, period. We've seen it. He's disappeared for long stretches of time for team after team during these different years with the Oakland Raiders. We've seen it. So if you want to tell me about how this isn't how my take is biased and somehow goes against whatever it is that your views are that are for some reason aren't so biased with such a pro Dallas Cowboys take, then come at me because you will find me in the forums at Orange Bloods. My name is Alex Dunlap. This has been the Deep Dig Podcast number 37. You can only find it right here on the Yak.